Okay. I do not have any financial disclosures. A little bit of background. We've gone through this several times as I am the fourth HPV presentation. But one of the important things to note from this is that what I want to specifically talk about is people who are vaccinated and the amount of HPV-preventable disease that are out there through vaccination. So a recent study of the NHANES in the 2003-2004 data suggested that 32.2% of women ages 14 to 49 had at least one type of vaccine-preventable HPV currently. And projections from this suggest that in their lifetime, 70% of women will have one type of vaccine-preventable HPV, which is largely preventable, once again, through vaccination. So what the current recommendations are is that 11 and 12-year-olds get vaccinated, specifically females. But there's catch-up vaccination for 13 to 26-year-old females. Based on national surveys, the TNNIS, the National Immunization Survey, has tracked HPV vaccination since the 2007 data. And what they found was that in 2007, the national prevalence of uptake, otherwise known as having at least one dose of the HPV vaccine, was around 25%. What they found is that amongst that same sample, those who started the vaccine, 23.5% of those were likely to complete it. In the 2008 data, they found that uptake had drastically increased, 37.2%, and completion was around 18%. So while uptake was higher, completion was lower, and a lot of this might due to the fact the way we measure completion, because completion is measured as have you had all three doses. So if they ask you while you're in the middle of your three-dose segment, you don't count as a completer yet, even though you might have completed it in the future. So, however, there's some gaps in the literature. As we said, it's important that the recommendation is for 11 and 12-year-olds to get vaccinated, but all our data on vaccination prevalence rates are for those who are 13 to 17 years old. Also, outside of race and SES, socioeconomic status, few associations have been made at the national level with prevalence of HPV vaccination. So the purpose of this study was to describe the national prevalence of HPV vaccination uptake and completion among girls ages 12 to 17. Specifically 12 to 17, because unfortunately the data set only asked girls 12 to 17 years old and not 11-year-olds about their intentions, about their vaccination habits. Also, I wanted to understand what factors predict vaccine uptake and completion using a national prevalence survey. So the two outcomes of interest I had were uptake, as I defined of having at least one HPV shot, and then completion, which is all three shots in the three-dose regimen. And some of the predictors I want to look at, I looked at both the qualitative literature as well as the quantitative literature that uses a smaller, more convenient sample study. And I determined that income level, mother's education, insurance status, both do you have insurance, what type of insurance, private, public, but also whether or not you rated your insurance as adequate. Did it meet your needs? What your relationship with your doctor, including several variables that included whether or not your doctor listened to you carefully, whether or not you thought your doctor had your cultural needs in mind, whether or not you had enough time with your doctor, whether or not you had a preventative doctor visit in the last 12 months, because as this is the 2007 data, if you hadn't had a visit in the last 12 months, you're unlikely to hear about the vaccine because it wasn't approved until the year before. A usual place of care, someone you define as your personal doctor or nurse, not just do you go to a same clinic, but whether or not you have someone you say, that's my doctor, that's their name. Doctor recommendation of specifically the vaccine, Gardasil, because at this time, HPV4, the quadrivalent vaccine, was the only one available. The age of the child, religious service attendance, and had you received a tetanus booster shot since age 11. So I use the National Survey of Children's Health, and it is funded by the Department of Health and Human Service, the Maternal and Child Health Bureau, and HRSA. And the data was collected between April 2007 and July 2008 using the SLATE system, which is the State and Local Area Integrated Telephone System. And it's the system that they use for the TNNIS and actually several other surveys since then. And what it's able to do is it's able to give you prevalence both at the national level, but it also is able to give you state-level predictors, as well as some local areas, specifically in metropolitan areas. And it uses a random digit dialing technique of landlines. And what they did was they asked parental reports. So all this data is from the parents reporting on their child's health. And it's for children ages 0 to 17 in the household. And overall, they had about 92,000 completed child-level interviews. However, for my study, I'm not using the whole sample because I only wanted to look at people who had been asked about HPV vaccination. So in order to be included, you had to have a female child, ages 12 to 17, and answer the question, has your child ever received any HPV shots? So my final sample, unweighted, was 16,738 interviews. So I did two separate things. First, I wanted to look at bivariate analyses with the individual predictors, and then I wanted to build a longer logistic regression. You look at it in a multivariable sense. So I started with weighted chi-square analysis so that I could have the national estimates factored into my survey. And then I did weighted logistic regression, doing manual model building, because unfortunately when you do weighted, especially using the cluster and strata and SAS, you cannot use the backslash forward, backward, and have the system do it for you. Instead, you have to take a more manual approach to your model building. So what I did was I took everything that was significant at the bivariate level and started off with a full model, and then progressively removed factors like manual backwards elimination, and to the point where I had every factor in the model remained significant. All right, prevalence. So according to the 2007 NSCH, uptake was about 18.7%, and completion was about 22.4%. And amongst those who had received any number of the HPV shots, the majority reported having one shot. That was 40%. 32% reported having two shots, and 22% reported having three shots. Amongst those who participated in my final sample, the majority said that their doctor had not recommended the vaccine. Only 31% of doctors had recommended the vaccine. So on my bivariate analyses, a lot of things were actually significant with vaccine uptake. And those are all in the left-hand column. This includes income level, insurance type, doctor recommendation, if your doctor was sensitive to your cultural beliefs, if your doctor provided the information necessary, whether or not you have a usual place of care, a personal doctor or nurse, visited the doctor for preventative health care in the last 12 months, and had a tetanus booster shot. When putting these all into my multivariable model, however, several of them dropped out to the point where I only had three predictors that actually significantly proved whether or not predicted whether or not you had received the vaccine. And those include poverty level, doctor recommendation, and have you ever received a tetanus shot? With these estimates, I then put back into the model race, ethnicity, insurance status, and child age, because several people wanted to make sure that I controlled for those factors when I'm talking about the impact that each of these variables have. And what jumps off the page is the doctor recommendation increases your likelihood of vaccination by 19.45 times. This is a drastic change and an odds ratio you don't normally see in behavioral research specifically. However, there's a very different picture when you talk about vaccination completion. The same things that predict uptake did not predict completion. And at the bivariate level, there was actually only two predictors of vaccination completion. And this include insurance adequacy and whether or not you thought your doctor listened carefully. Both of these factors actually remain predictive in the logistic regression analysis. And these estimates are while controlling for race, ethnicity, insurance status, and child age. And what this study actually found is that having adequate reporting your insurance as adequate increased your likelihood by 69% of completing the vaccine. And it also says that you report your doctor listening usually or always carefully, it's three times more likely that you would receive completed the vaccine. So in comparison to other national studies, Actually, amongst this sample, we saw a slightly lower uptake and about equivalent completion for the same time period. What's very interesting to me is that uptake and completion had different models. They had different predictors that were significant in proving these outcomes. So what is interesting to me is that those in the lowest poverty level bracket, the 0 to 99% of the federal poverty level, were actually more likely to get vaccinated when controlling for all other factors. Doctor recommendation was highly correlated with having had at least one dose with the HPV vaccine, including 19 times more likely, and having received a tetanus shot, which increased your likelihood of 2 times, which might speak to the fact that uptake of the vaccine is not very different than any other vaccine. It's whether or not your doctor recommends it and whether or not you get your vaccinations. It might not be that it is so sexually oriented to the point where that's the most driving force. However, completion has a slightly different picture. So as they mentioned before, it is a fairly expensive vaccine. So maybe whether or not your insurance is adequate predicts whether or not you follow through with it. So maybe you can't afford all 3 doses. Also, doctor listens carefully. I'm not quite sure what that means, to be quite honest. And I think it's a very interesting thing that I think should be explored further. So while I mentioned that those in the lowest poverty level bracket were more likely to get vaccinated when controlling for all other factors, when you don't control for those factors, you can see that those in the lowest poverty level bracket are not necessarily the ones who are actually getting vaccinated the most. Those in the highest poverty level bracket that I looked at actually had the highest. So those who are 400 plus the federal poverty level were actually had vaccination rates at 23%. However, you also see a spike on the other end of the spectrum. And what this might speak to, and it's actually one of the things that the authors of the TeenNIS write-ups did, said maybe this speaks to vaccines for children and how well we're doing at helping out with this, with specifically HPV4 via vaccines for children. Doctor recommendations. So only 31% of doctors recommended the vaccine. And this also varies by income level, too. So you can see a very different picture along income level lines when you look at it at different levels. And what you can see is that those in the highest income brackets are also the ones who are getting recommended the vaccine more. So this really speaks to a need to increase doctor recommendation, but at all levels. And there might be some kind of internal process that the doctor goes through, whether or not they recommend it based on how they perceive their patient. So some of the limitations of my study, it was secondary data analysis, therefore I was constrained to the variables that were available in the data set. There was missing data, however, all variables had less than 10% missing data. It was parental reports, so the parents might have reported, oh yes, they had 2 shots, but in actuality they might have only had 1. So there is some bias in reporting, possibly. The strength of that, though, is that my data is very similar to the TeenNIS, which uses a different system. Actually, the TeenNIS looks at medical records. But I had similar numbers, so that suggests maybe parental reporting isn't as biased as one might think. It misses half of the recommended age group. I would really wish they would open the survey up and also ask 11-year-olds about their vaccination. Issues with data collection and completion. As I mentioned, both my survey and the TeenNIS have a definition of completion as have you received all 3 shots. However, it doesn't ask you, are you in the middle of your regimen? And I think that would be an important thing to know, to really know what completion means. However, on the other hand, the strengths are it's nationally representative. I control for theoretically important variables. It's the first inclusion of 12-year-olds into the national prevalence rates, and it's an exploration of variables identified in the qualitative literature that haven't been used in a quantitative manner yet. So overall, this is back in 2007, and as we saw, the 2008 data showed higher uptake, but at the time, uptake was low, approximately 1 in 5 had at least 1 dose. Completion was low, of those who started, only 1 in 5 completed. And different variables predict uptake versus those that predict completion. As a result, if we're trying to increase HPV vaccination, we're going to have to keep in mind the two different goals here. So if you're going to try to increase uptake, then you might want to look at doctor recommendation, you might want to look at poverty level, you might want to look at whether or not they had the tetanus shot. Whereas if you're looking to increase completion, then you might want to look at things that involve insurance and how their doctor and patient interact.